I want to spend just a few moments this morning reading briefly from the 24th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke and share a few thoughts just prior to our Easter cantata. Luke 24, verses 1 through 11. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices which they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. You know, some things just aren't any fun. Bless you. Doctor's visits. Anybody in here that looks forward to them? Dental visits. Paying the bills that come every month. Paying those bills that come unexpectedly. Taking care of details when a loved one dies. From casket to flowers, to planning services, to going through clothes to dress them. But you know, we do these things, unfortunately, on a regular basis. And when we do these last things, we do them out of love, do we not? Love of and love for the one who was gone. This was the case for the women who had followed Jesus to Jerusalem, who had watched him die horribly, who had gone and watched his hasty burial, and who now were going back to the grave on that Sunday morning to unwrap the hastily placed wrappings, to wash the body in a proper and respectful way, to anoint it and to rewrap it in a proper fashion. Not as has been done quickly on Friday afternoon. As they began approaching the tomb, they were probably wishing that they had brought a couple of those big strapping disciples with them to move that large stone with which the tomb had been sealed. Although those big strapping disciples were in hiding. Perhaps as they got closer, they thought, if they pleaded enough, maybe the soldiers would move the stone and allow them to go in and do what needed to be done. The sun was just beginning to creep above the horizon as they approached the tomb. And as they looked, their eyes opened wide and gasps escaped from them. The stone was moved. What in the world was going on? Perhaps they were even afraid someone might have come and taken Jesus' body. They went inside, scared, looking furtively and somewhat anxious. And suddenly they were stunned. Jesus' body was gone, but the grave wrappings were still there and still in place. As they began to look at each other and to wonder what all of this meant, two men, as we're told, in dazzling apparel, the description in the biblical text of angels, messengers of good news frightened the women even more. Before they could turn and bolt out of the tomb, they fell at the feet of the angels, wondering what was to happen next. And those messengers opened their mouths and announced the grandest news of all in a question. Why do you seek the living one among the dead? This designation, the living one, is unique to Luke. For Luke, it denotes that Jesus is the risen Savior, the one who once was dead, but is now the living one forevermore. These words affirm the fact of Jesus' resurrection, and they reminded the women that Jesus had predicted His death and His resurrection. And as the Son of Man, He is indeed the God-man, dying as a human, but as God, overcoming death for all time. As we continue to read, the women leave the tomb and they begin to tell everyone they encountered the glorious news. They went straight to the disciples, found where they were hiding, and began to share that great news with them. And most of them took the news as an idle tale. Idle tale brought on perhaps by hysteria. And the women continued to tell the story over and over and over again. In some translations, verse 12 reads, "But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home wondering at what had happened." Everyone else was wondering. Everyone else was declaring it an idle tale. And suddenly, Simon Peter decided, "I've got to go see." And when he gets there and sees the tomb for himself, the empty burial clothes with no body, he was overwhelmed. And as he left, he began to wonder, could it be true? Could what Jesus had said actually have come true? And though doubts arose among the disciples, even when Jesus appeared later in the day, the good news was verified. And the good news remains. The angel said, "He is not here." That is, he is not here in the tomb. But he is here. He is here now. He is here forever. Alive in the heavens and alive upon the earth and alive within our lives forevermore. You know, we oftentimes talk about empty crosses. We look at empty crosses, we decorate our churches with them, we put them on our steeples. We wear them around our necks as jewelry, perhaps as earrings, sometimes even as tattoos. But as important as the empty cross is, more importantly, we find an empty tomb. For had the body still been in the grave, the cross would have been empty. It is the empty tomb that brings life. Today, as we approach the empty tomb, may we become even more aware of the power of the resurrection in those empty places within our own hearts and lives. And may we allow that resurrection news, "He is not here," and the life that Jesus lives, fill our emptiness to overflowing with the good news. He is risen. He is risen indeed.